This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Over the past three decades, Wisconsin's state prison population has increased by more than 200%, and it's expected to keep growing. According to a brief by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, that growing number will also lead to a growing budget.
The Department of Corrections is asking for an additional $149 million in its 2019 to 2021 budget, an increase that would directly impact Wisconsin taxpayers.
David Callender is the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and he joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the brief and how Wisconsin's prison population has changed over the past three decades.
Well, we've seen really four periods of fairly significant growth and then a little pattern of retrenchment starting in about the 1990s. And there was a tremendous growth between 1990 and 1999, where the prison population virtually doubled from about 7,000, 8,000 inmates to more than 20,000. And that was a period, if folks remember back then, very strong desire to get tough on crime. A lot of the criminal penalties were increased. Judges were handing out tougher sentences. Prosecutors were asking for tougher sentences. And I think there was a very strong public sentiment in favor of being very tough with individuals that had committed crimes. The next period into the 2000s, then, there was continued growth until roughly about maybe 2008 or so. During that time, there was growth, but it was not the same rate of growth. But again, did see some fairly significant numbers reaching up beyond the 20,000 number. In the early part of the new millennium, roughly about 2008 or so, we had a brief period of time where the prison population declined slightly. And there was actually some hope that perhaps Wisconsin had turned a corner and that the kinds of increases that we have seen in the past decade or two decades really were not going to continue. And then finally, starting in about 2014 or so, the pattern of growth started to occur again. It was not quite as abrupt again as what we had seen certainly back in the 90s, but what we've seen ever since then has been a pattern of continued growth.
You mentioned the dip, which I was interested in. Do we know why it dipped around 2008?
It's sort of difficult to tell exactly what happened there, but we know from the numbers that essentially there was a decline in the number of admissions. What's interesting about that period was is that there were not, you know, there are two things that affect prison populations, admissions or folks coming in, and then releases, folks going out. There was actually a decline in the number of releases during that period of time, but there were also substantially fewer folks coming in. So you had essentially a net decline in population during that period of time. So something happened with admissions. We're not quite sure exactly what.
Okay. I'd like to kind of look at the truth in sentencing law, which your brief discusses. It was enacted in 2000. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Truth in sentencing was a law that applies to any offense that was committed after January 1st of 2000. And what truth in sentencing does is it eliminated the old system of early release and parole for individuals who are convicted of crimes. Under the old system, as soon as you had completed 25% of your sentence, you were potentially eligible for release on probation. And once you had completed two-thirds of your sentence, assuming that there had been no misconduct or anything while you were behind bars, you were automatically eligible for release on probation, during which time then you would be supervised by a probation officer. If you committed an offense, or if you violated the rules, more importantly, if you didn't commit a crime but you did something wrong, you would end up going back to prison, or you could end up going back to prison for the time remaining on your probation. So let's say you had 4 years of probation, you committed an offense in your last 6 months, and you would end up going back then for that remaining 6 months. If once truth in sentencing took place, it changes the way that individuals are sentenced. So that first you have a prison term, followed by a term of extended supervision for at least 25% of that prison term. So the example that we give is that, let's say you get 12 years in prison followed by 4 years of extended supervision. At any point during that time in extended supervision, if you violate the rules, you can be returned to prison for the entire length of that extended supervision. So again, looking at it, if you were to have 4 years of extended supervision, commit a violation in that final 6 months, you could potentially end up going back to prison for that full four-year period. And that's where one of the biggest changes between the old law and the new law really occurs.
What are some of the violations of parole? What do those look like?
Well, and this is where, unfortunately, the data that we have from the Department of Corrections doesn't give us the kind of level of specificity as far as what individuals are being revoked for. There are all kinds of violations that you can have while you're on probation and parole, anything from associating or, you know, being in contact with someone who also has a criminal conviction to using alcohol or drugs, you know, not showing up or being fired from a job. So there are a number of things that you can do that potentially will get you revoked. And this is one of the areas where we're really looking for better data, just so that we would be able to finally get an idea of what are individuals who are being returned to the prison system, what are they being revoked on.
Yeah, it seems like that's an important piece of information, in part because revocations have become such a big part of prison sentences. How much has that risen over the last decade or so?
Revocations are now the leading cause or the leading reason for admissions to prison. So they are the number one source of inmates entering the prison system again. And so, I mean, we've seen a fairly significant number of that. We're talking about roughly 25% back in the 1990s. It's now up to roughly about 30% in as of 2017. And so it's a fairly substantial number. And again, you also have then a population beyond that that have committed an additional crime while they were out on extended supervision. And those individuals also make up a fairly significant number of the prison entering population.
Yeah. So we're forecasting a pretty large increase of our prison population. What is that going to look like for our budget?
There are going to be some significant impacts on the budget. One of the things that's important to understand about the Department of Corrections is that, unlike a lot of other state programs, there is virtually no federal funding or no any other source of revenue for the department's operations. So Wisconsin taxpayers are on the line for almost 90 to 100% of the DOC's budget. In the current budget request, they're asking for an additional $149 million in state taxpayer support over the next 2 years. That's a significant increase. And again, some of the things they're looking at are going to be things like converting the Lincoln Hill prisons to from a juvenile justice facility to an adult facility. There's also a fairly significant increase in the number of adult inmates that would be in state prison that are going to be moved into Wisconsin County jails. So that's also a major part of the budget request.
David Callender is the Communications Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which just released a brief on the rising prison population in Wisconsin. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.